I want to learn and talk about an inyan today of Chanukah. Connects to the Parsha Shavua a little bit. And it's, I think, a fundamental inyan that can be mechazik us, can help us understand one of the beautiful dimensions of what it means to be a Jew in Eved Hashem, one of the beautiful dimensions of Jewish history, one of the things that has contributed to Klal Yisrael being able to persevere through doros of exile and against tremendous amounts of adversity and persecution that we've seen over the generations. I want to begin by something probably not so typical. I want to begin by quoting a famous secular Zionist Chanukah song. Who started this song? Mi Malel Gvurot Yisrael. Who learned such a song in day school? David Cohen, you familiar with the song? Yeah, familiar. So when I came to yeshiva, I didn't really, you know, the song that I, you know, I went to Solomon Schechter in Philadelphia or suburban Philadelphia. You know, this was like one of the songs that you sing in Chanukah. And I came to yeshiva, a rebbe of mine who very insightful and you know, a little bit more of what we call in yeshivas a little more hack. Once was discussing this song and really how hashkafically problematic this song is. The words of the song are Mi Malel Gvurot Yisrael, Otan Mi Yimne. Who can put to words the heroics of Israel? Who can count them? Hen Bechaldor Yakum HaGibor Goel Ha'am. That every generation, the Gibor, the hero, comes and is the Goel Ha'am, is the redeemer of the people. What's hashkafically problematic about those words? Who is the song ascribing Jewish heroism or Jewish? That's right, the people, the Gibor, the hero. And this is a song that actually was written. I actually gave you a whole article, the last page. We're not going to go into it, but it's a great hack, the very, very last page. Check out the article. The Taina, the claim against the song was, no, this is not our tradition. This is not our Mesorah. I just make a request. The article is great hack, but just for afterwards, I'll discuss some of the nekudos, but I'm just it's for reading afterwards. This is not our hashkafa, but this is not our perspective, right? Especially when it comes to when it comes to all dimensions of life, especially when it comes to Yamim Tovim, Chanukah, right? It's all about ascribing the Nisim, ascribing the incredible salvations that Klal Yisrael experienced by Yamim Ahem, Bazman Azeh, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Sha'asa Nisim Labusein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who made our Nisim, right? Why would a secular Zionist, why did they write the song differently? Why do they celebrate differently? Because their worldview is a lot more man-centered, or not maybe a lot more man-centered, but completely man-centered, as opposed to God-centered, right? The greatness of man and man's power and man's ability, right? Certainly removing God, unfortunately, Rahman al-Atlan, as a result of enlightenment, as a result of the secularization of the world, many Jews, many people in the world, and unfortunately many Jews, God was removed from their hearts, from their souls, from their minds, and the greatness of man became the center focus. Even Jews who still had Zionist values, had Jewish values, but the individual became the center, and God was kind of taken out of their worldview, Rahman al-Atlan, to our great heartbreak. And they would still celebrate Chanukah. In fact, Chanukah, for secular Zionists, you know, they would take this theme, they would take this motif, and celebrate the Yontif, but not call it a Yontif, and not say, you know, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Sha'asa Nisim Labuseinu B'yamim Ahim Bazman Hazeh. But they would celebrate the Gvuros Yisrael, the great strengths and courage and victorious might of the Jew, of the individual, celebrating Yehuda Maccabee, celebrating the revolt, right? Obviously, it was during a time when the Jews were rebelling against oppression both abroad and oppression here in the land of Israel. Is there room for taking these words, taking this inyan, and seeing emes in it? That recognizing that part of the Hanukkah story is a celebration of the gevurah of a yid, the gevurah of a Jew. Not chas v'shalom to the removal, to the exclusion of the nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, but as a harmony, as an additional dimension of that, of the nisim v'Hashem, also seeing the gevurah, also seeing the might, also seeing the great courage, and perhaps even mesiras nefesh of Klal Yisrael, the Chashmonaim, of the Maccabim in the Hanukkah story. So I want to raise a few questions and try to develop a mahalach, try to develop an approach to one dimension of the Hanukkah story. There is a question in Poskim, a little bit in Nigla. There is a question in Poskim, and I gave you a copy from the Sefer Encyclopedia Talmudit, where he goes through, everybody familiar with the Sefer Encyclopedia Talmudit? That's actually bunch of the set behind me over here. A very, very incredible Torah work. It's still being worked on. It's been worked on for 40, 50 years. They're about halfway through it, basically going through every single topic in Halacha and all of the Makoros, all of the Sugyas, all of the Chazals, Rishonim, Achronim, breaking down by topic, all the questions, all the issues. It's an absolutely unbelievable work. There's an entire staff, a massive staff of Talmidei Chachamim that work on this. My parents actually have a good friend who's one of the heads of the institution of the Kol that works on the Encyclopedia Talmudit. It was started, I think, by Rav Yossi Shlomo Zevin years and years and years ago, and it's still going strong here in Yerushalayim. It's an unbelievable work. Literally, you know, the most minuscule topics in Halacha and in Torah, broken down encyclopedic style. So, in the chapter of Yomtiv Sheni. In the chapter of Yom Tov Sheni, it's in the 23rd volume of Encyclopedia Talmudit. It gets to the letter Yud. Just think about that. The 23rd volume is just up to the letter Yud. Yud is the 10th letter in the alphabet, and there's just 23 volumes just to get to the letter Yud. So another 30 or 40 volumes still to come. In the 23rd Krach, he has a whole encyclopedia entry on Yom Tov Sheni, on the concept of a second day of Yontif. And he goes through all the different Yomim Tovim and wonders the issues that pertain to Yontif Sheni when it comes to all the Yomim Tovim. We know, right, Sukkot we just had, right, and when one is outside of Eretz Yisrael or one is a Ben, Chutz Laretz, so they celebrate Yontif Sheni. Why is there an Indian of Yontif Sheni? Why is there this whole concept of Yontif Sheni outside of Eretz Yisrael? Just quickly, because we know that back when Klal Yisrael were here in Eretz Yisrael, there was a Kiddush HaChodesh al-Pi HaRe'iyah, and that when the Jews went into exile, went to Bavel, so they had to send out shluchim, they had to send out messengers outside, you know, all the way to those foreign places settlements where Jews were, and to get the message to them. And sometimes it would take a long time for the message to get there, so there arose in far, far Jewish communities a sveika diyoma, a doubt as to which day is which. Sometimes it could be the 10th of the month and it was really the 9th of the month or really the 11th of the month. You're not sure because you didn't get the message yet from the shluchim from Yerushalayim. For that reason, because sveika diyoma, because unclear which day, so when it came to Yomim Tovim, where there's Isra Malacha, and where there's Mitzvah Sayom, Chazal were Metake and Chazal instituted to keep a second day of Yom Tov. That applies by Sukkot, that applies by Pesach, that applies by Shavuos. And Rosh Hashanah has a very, very unique type of Sfeika Diyoma, even in Eretz Yisrael, there's 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And that's the issue. By Chanukah, the Poskim discuss, why is there no Sveika Diyoma? By all Yomim Tovim, we have a Sveika Diyoma. We have an extra day in exile, or for B'nai exile, B'nai Chutzaretz. Why is there no Sveika Diyoma by Chanukah? This is a question that Post can discuss, why there's no extra days. And I gave you from Encyclopedia Talmudit, he brings a bunch of different answers. One answer is that it's so late in the month, it's already the 25th day of the month, right? Chanukah is the Yontif that starts the latest date in a month, then later than any other Yontif, right? No other holiday that we have starts after Tezvav, after the 15th of the month. Chanukah starts on the 26th day of the month. So one of the answers that's given by Poskim is because by that point you could be confident that the shluchim would have gotten there. There's no reason to establish a second day or a suffix, because you could be confident that the 25th day is really the 25th day. And there's many other answers given. I want to give an answer to this question. Alpi Nister, Alpi Chassidus, Alpi Pnimius. Why Chanukah maybe should be fundamentally different, not necessarily on a halachic level, but perhaps on a shkafic level. So keep that question in mind. In this week's Parsha, Parshas Miketz, when the whole story is unfolding of Yosef in Mitzrayim and the famine and the whole story of the whole family of Yaakovinu going down to Mitzrayim. So we have in the middle of the episode, the chapter, where the brothers are down in Mitzrayim and they had met Yosef. And Yosef knows them. They don't know him. They don't know that it's him. He knows it's them. Excuse me. And Yosef accuses them of being spies. And as such, he puts them in jail. And then and they had told him, we have another brother. We left him at home. And he says, I don't believe you. Bring down your other brother. Obviously, it's a ploy. Yosef is just pulling the strings here. He wants to bring his brother Binyamin down to Mitzrayim. And he wants to bring the family down to Mitzrayim. He knows what's happening. They don't. Yosef puts Shimon in jail and tells them to go home and don't come back. You're not getting Shimon unless you bring back Binyamin. The brothers go home to Yaakov Avinu. And when they get home, Yaakov Avinu is heartbroken. One of his sons, he had already lost one son, Yosef. Now he thinks he's lost another son who's down in prison in Mitzrayim. The brothers say to Yaakov, well, first Reuven. First Reuven goes to Yaakov. This is in the bold in the bottom of the page. Vayomer aleim Yaakov. Yaakov says to the brothers, Otisi kaltem, you made me a mourner, you made me a bereaved parent. Yosef, and we don't have Shimon. We don't have Yosef. V'shimon, and now we don't have Shimon. Ves Binyamin tikhu. Alaya Yukulana, you want to bring Binyamin down also? I already lost Yosef. I don't have Shimon, and you want to take Binyamin back? No way. So Reuven, who's the current leader of the brothers, says to Yaakov, Eshnei Banai Tamis im lo avienu elecha. Reuven says, Yaakov, I'll make you a deal. I will guarantee you the life of my two sons, says Reuven, if I don't come back with Shimon. Yaakov doesn't want to give Binyamin, right? Binyamin is his youngest son. He's beloved. He's very scared of losing him, just like he lost Yosef. And he doesn't want to give him up. Reuven makes a deal. I'll give you the life of my two youngest sons. Your very own grandchildren. I'll give you them on condition that I don't bring Binyamin back. It's a pretty strange thing to say to your father. If I don't bring back your son, so I'll give you the lives of my two sons, your two grandsons. But he's trying to make a deal. He's trying to barter. He's trying to convince Yaakov with some sort of logical declaration. You know, I'm gonna give you this. You know, my prized possession, donation is whatever I'm going to give to you in order to show you how dedicated I will be to bringing back Binyamin, and obviously to bringing back Shimon as well. And Yaakov says, no way. Vayomer lo yered b'ni mechem. I'm not giving you Binyamin. He will not go down. Ki achiv meis, because his brother's dead, meaning that's Yosef. V'hu levado nishar. Binyamin's the only one. V'karu ason. Something could chas shalom happen to him in the way. And then I'm going to be miserable for the rest of my life. I can't risk it. No, you're not going. And the curtain closes. The curtain then opens in the next parak. It's a break. And the famine has continued. And now there's no choice. The famine has gotten stronger. The family is back home in Eretz Canaan. They have nothing to eat. And they need to go back down to Mitzrayim. They have no choice. So now comes Yehuda. Not Reuven, but now comes Yehuda. And Yehuda approaches Yaakov Avinu and says, Abba, there's no choice. We need to go down to Mitzrayim. We're all going to die. There's nothing left to eat here in Eretz Canaan. And Yehuda says, but there's no way to do it without bringing Binyamin. That guy, that king, that powerful ruler down in Mitzrayim said, if we come back here without bringing Binyamin, without bringing the youngest son, he'll punish us all. So now we're stuck. The famine is upon us again. We need to go back down, and we need to bring Binyamin. And what does Yehuda say? Vayomer Yehuda Yisrael Aviv Shalcha Hanar Iti Vinakuma Vinelcha Vinichya Velo Namus. Abba, send Binyamin with us, and I take responsibility, and we will live, and we will not die. Gam Anachnu, us, Gam Ata, you, Gam Tapeinu, and our children. Anochi Arevenu, and I will be the Arev. I will take responsibility for Binyamin. Miyadei Tivakshenu Im Lo Hav Yosef Eilecha, and you can. It's on me if I don't bring him back. Vitzagdi Lefanecha VeChatasi Lecha Kol Yamim, and I will have sinned against you all of the days of my life if I don't bring back Binyamin. What's the difference between what Yehuda says and what Reuben says? What's the difference between their tactic, between how they try to convince Yaakov Avinu to go down in order to save Shimon, and now in order to save the family as well? And also, if you look in the Psukim closely, and this is a big Indian that's found throughout all of Tanakh, throughout all of Tanakh, the name of Yaakov Avinu actually changes in the midst of these two dialogues. When Reuven is talking, who is he talking to? It's underlined. Yaakov Avinu is talking. Once Yehuda steps in, once Yehuda approaches him, it's no longer Yaakov. Who is it? Now it's Yisrael. Why the name change? So this is a massive, massive topic in Kol HaTorah Kula. Why sometimes he's referred to as Yisrael, why sometimes he's referred to as Yaakov, what they represent, many different mahalchim, many different approaches, many different explanations of why their name switches, what they each mean, what they each represent. One of the main approaches, and something that is coming out of these psukim, when Yehuda approaches, he's coming from a much different place than Reuven is coming from. And this is our yesod for today. Reuven is coming from a place of logic. Reuven is coming from a place of, let's make a deal. Let's try to do something in order to make a solution that makes sense, that we can understand and explain with a calculated logic. Yehuda says, with his heart, with his soul, Abba, we have no choice. This is the life of our family. This is the life of Klal Yisrael. Is there an immense sacrifice at hand? Yes. I can't deny that. There's an immense sacrifice at hand. What can I commit? I can only commit myself. Can I guarantee anything? Can't guarantee anything. And if I fail, chatasi l'cha kol hayamim. I'll have sinned before you all the days of my life. Rashi says it'll continue into Olam Haba as well. I can't make any calculated commitment. I can't make any logical Svara, I can't tell you logically with a calculation why it makes sense, but we have no choice. And Abba, I'm telling you, I'm going to give you everything that I have. I'm going to give you myself. I'm going to give you everything I possibly can in order to bring Binyamin back and in order to save our family. This is the koach called Mesiras Nefesh. This is the koach called, I'm willing to give up everything. When there's something that has to be done for Klal Yisrael, when there's something that has to be done for L'Shem Shemayim, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to do everything. And yes, are there sometimes things that are asked, sometimes things that have to happen that require things that are totally beyond us? Yes. But a Jew has within them a storehouse, an inner light, an inner koach, an inner strength, that if he channels properly, can give him the ability to do that which is sometimes seemingly insurmountable. On Hanukkah, flip the page. On Hanukkah, so we know we say the Al HaNisim. And famously, two major Nisim that we celebrate, the Nes of the Pach Shemen and the Nes Milchama. We know, I'm sure people have thought about or learned about the contrast between the Al HaNisim that we say in our tefillah and in our benching versus Chazal Demai Hanukkah, which focuses on the Nes Pach Shemen as opposed to the Al HaNisim, which seems to focus more on the Nes of the Milchama, the Nes of the Chashmonaim, the Maccabim, overcoming the Yevanim. And this other dimension, the Nes of the Milchama, the war, the victory of Klal Yisrael over the Yevanim, that we focus on, there's something that we perhaps can pick up on a little deeper level when it comes to the Nes of the Milchama. going back to one of the first times we ever see the Jewish people at war. And this appears many times, but one occurred to me this morning actually while I was davening. The first time there's a war, the Jewish people are involved in a war. What's the first war we ever fought? It's really not generally thought about as a war, but it's in the Psukim it's referred to as a war. What's the first war that the Jewish people fought? Even before that, actually.
Oh, Esav and
Yaakov. Well, that's not the Jewish people, but and this is more like a one-on-one duel. What about a war? As I said, it's not really thought about as a war, but in the Psukim it's referred to as a war.
Egypt?
Yeah, exactly. The Jews against the Egyptians. When we left Mitzrayim, right, we left Mitzrayim, there was a showdown, and the Jews fight, so to speak, the Egyptians. Obviously, we know that we didn't have to pull out, you know, we didn't have to pull out any guns or nukes or tanks or anything like that. Why? Because as the Psukim tell us very clearly in Parshas Beshalach, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, and I gave you the Psukim, Hisyatzivu ru'us Yeshuas Hashem, Asher Yaseh Lachem. See the miracle. See the incredible salvation that God will do for you. As Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem yilachem lachem, v'atem tacharishun. You just sit back and watch God fight the battle. Watch God fight the war. There's going to be a war against Mitzrayim, but it's not going to be a war that you're going to fight. And in fact, it would go down as one of the most incredible miracles of all time. The downfall of the entire Egyptian army, obviously culminating in Kriyas Yamsuf, and the entire Egyptians with all of their chariots being drowned in Yamsuf. And this is a war. It's not a typical type of war on a battlefield, not even ancient, not even modern, but totally miraculous. And as we say in Az Yashir every single morning, Hashem Ish Milchama Hashem Shemo. God is the one of war, God is the man of war, meaning Hashem was fighting this war, and he is Hashem. That was a war. That's a miraculous war. That's a war that literally, as the Psukim say explicitly, just sit back and watch. The miracles of this war against Mitzrayim, and it's true, it continues against Amalek, it continues in the Midbar, it continues in the Kibush of Eretz Yisrael, miraculous wars, where really, Hashem is fighting for us, and that's really one of the main focuses of all of Sefer Yehoshua, the conquest of the land with incredible miracles. Yes, Hishtadlus, yes, Yehoshua, an important, you know, military strategy, but the Kibush of Eretz Israel, the conquest of Israel, incredible revealed miracles, right? Obviously, the most famous one is when Yehoshua said, you know, stops the sun in midair and the moon, their time's extended in order for Klal Yisrael to be able to win that battle against in Gibeon, right? That battle against the Canaanim. Miracles, revealed miracles. In those wars, God is the one fighting. God is the one miraculously bringing this Yeshua to Klal Yisrael, against Mitzrayim, against Amalek, against the Canaanim, etc. Fast forward a few thousand years, in the days of B'mei Matisyahu, Ben Yochanan, Kohen Gadol, Chashmonai, Vanav, when Klal Yisrael are here on the days of the second Beis HaMikdash, and things are really at an all-time low. I was very moved last night by Rabbi Hirschman's drasha in the banquet, the way he depicted and the contrast between the Midbar and the miraculous reality of the Midbar and the very, very lowly reality, literally, that was going on in the days of the second Beis HaMikdash here in Eretz Yisrael. When many Jews had assimilated, and certainly no miracles anymore, right? Chazal revealed to us that one of the big differences between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash was the first Beis HaMikdash was a reality full of miracles, full of prophecy, full of the supernatural, as opposed to the second Beis HaMikdash, it was a reality without the supernatural, without prophecy, without revealed miracles. During that time, when we fought our adversaries here in Eretz Yisrael, the Greeks destroyed both the physical fabric of the Jewish empire at the time, but more importantly, the spiritual and emotional fabric of what it meant to be a Jew, totally ripped it apart, came these incredible heroes, came these Yehuda Maccabi, came these Chashmonaim, and saw that something needed to be done. And they fought a war. But they fought a war that logically, and this is one of the main things that we celebrate on Hanukkah, they fought a war that they had no business fighting to begin with. They had no chance. Why? As we say in Al-Anisim, Rabim biad ma'atim. That this Assyrian Greek army, their numbers, their technology, their military might, they had elephants, right? We didn't have a chance. There was no shaychus. There was no chance of winning such a war. But just like Yehuda, many, many years earlier, they made a cheshbon. Not a calculation. They made a decision. Something has to be done. The state of Klal Yisrael is such that if we don't stand up, if we don't do something, does it logically make any sense? Can we win this war? Do we have a shot? Not really. But look what's happening to the Jewish people. Look what's happening in the Beis HaMikdash. Look at the assimilation. Look at the Avodah Zarah. Look at the terrible, terrible decrees that are going against us. We must do something, whatever we possibly can. So they fight. And this was a deep that I had this morning as I was davening. Ve'ata berech enal anisim, ve'ata berechamecha arbim, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you and your great mirror, in your great mercy. Amadata lehem ve'es sarasam, you stood with them, you stood for them in their time of adversity. Ravta es rivam, unlike the war against Mitzrayim, where it's Hashem ish milchama, where it's Hashem yilachim lachem, God is the one fighting, God is the one doing it, you know, we're just going to be, you know, passive, you know, do whatever we can while God makes his miraculous victories against Mitzrayim, against Amalek, against the Canaanim, etc. No, this is our fight. The fight of Hanukkah is rivam. It's our fight. Dantes dinam. You're going to judge their judgment. They were dan din. They made a judgment. They made a decision. Nakamtes nikmasam. You're going to avenge their revenge. Meaning what? We as Klal Yisrael, the Hashmonaim, the Maccabim, these great heroes, these great tzaddikim, they said, this is a must. We must go ahead and fight this fight. For the sake of being Mekadeshim Shemayim, for the sake of not allowing this Chilul Hashem to go on any longer. Does it make logical sense? No. Do we have a chance? No. But look what's happening. We have no choice. And when they made that decision, when they decided to do whatever they possibly could, even though they had little chance, there was no guarantee that it was going to end up in a Hanukkah and a Yontif being established for generations, and that we were going to get back to Yerushalayim, we were going to get back to the Beis HaMikdash. There was no guarantee. But they did whatever they possibly could because they channeled that inner storehouse of Mesiras Nefesh, of unbelievable dedication to Hashem, dedication to Torah, dedication to Klal Yisrael. They brought it out from a deep place within them. And when Hashem saw that, Ravta es rivam, then he brought about this miracle. He brought about this miracle and fought their fight. Not us fighting his fight, but he fought our fight. He joined together with the Hashmonaim in those times to bring this incredible Yeshua, this incredible salvation, this incredible Nes, the miracle of this military victory that was totally impossible on any realistic level. There's an unbelievable essay on Hanukkah by one of the great early Hasidic greats, the Kedushas Levi, of Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, in the back of his Sefer, the back of the Kedushas Levi. He has these essays on Hanukkah, these essays on Purim. He calls them the Kedushos. And then these beautiful essays where he develops his themes about Hanukkah and Purim. And in the fifth one on Hanukkah, it's called the Kedusha Chamishis, he says the following. I'll tell it to you mostly outside. He says that there's a famous vort, hopefully probably by this point of Hanukkah, maybe you've heard this vort, that on Hanukkah, the mitzvah is brought down the Gemara on Shabbos. Hopefully, many of you have learned it. Mitzvah near Hanukkah, mishetishka achama achetichla regel min ashuk. The mitzvah of lighting the ner is Hanukkah is until achetichla regel min ashuk, until the last foot has left the marketplace. But in Pnimius and Chasidus, a different explanation is given to what that phrase means, achetichla regel min ashuk, and he develops an entire approach about miracles. And he says the following, I'll tell you like this. We're now in the Yontif of Hanukkah. And also, I'd love to add that it connects to the seasons as well. It's appropriate for this dark, gloomy winter day. We're now in the Yontif of Hanukkah. In a few months, we're going to have the Yontif of Purim. Following that, the Yontif of Pesach. Following that, Mamad Har Sinai, the Yontif of Shavuos. What's this progression of Chanukah to Purim to Pesach to Shavuos? Says the Kedushas Levi. Chanukah, well, let's start from the back. Shavuos, Mamad Har Sinai, was the day of the revelation of God. The most supernatural day in the history of the world. When God Himself revealed Himself to the entire Jewish people. Something we like to talk about a lot here in Eishah Torah. It's an important thing, right? The day of the revelation. Right? The most supernatural day of all time when God revealed Himself at Har Sinai to Klal Yisrael. All of nature, all of reality was turned up on its head when God revealed Himself. The predecessor of that is the Yontif of Pesach. When God revealed Himself through the Nisim of Mitzrayim, brought down the Egyptian Empire, 10 plagues, splitting of the sea, right? By the Haggadah Shel Pesach, we recount, you know, the different opinions of how many miracles there were, hundreds of miracles. An incredibly supernatural event, full of unbelievable miracles, and also a Gilui Shechina, also when God revealed Himself. Before that, we have the Yontif of Purim. Also, where we say Al HaNisim, we refer to miracles. But if you look there, we'll talk about this more in a few months. When it comes to Purim, if you read Megillas Esther, the story of Purim, you're not going to be, you know, jaw-dropping, shocked by the miracles of Purim. Yeah? There's nothing that's going to blow your mind like, you know, 10 plagues or a splitting sea. Or like a revelation at Sinai. But when you put the story together and you read the story with an eye from a place of a Jewish perspective, from the Chazal's perspective, so you see how the entire Purim story is an unbelievable miracle. Achashverosh and Esther and Vashti and Haman and Mordechai, Big Tzad HaTer, it's unbelievable, right? But it's very cloaked. It's very cloaked in Teva. It's very cloaked in Olam Hazeh, right? One could even, Chas V'Shalom, say that it's, you know, it's a really great drama. It's a really great, you know, piece of literature. But in fact, we know it's an incredible miracle that Hashem saved the Jewish people from Achashverosh, from Haman. But it's cloaked in Teva. And then you come back to Chanukah. What do you have? You have people who won a war. You have an army who fought a war and beat another army. Now one could say, as maybe the secular Zionists wanted to say, that's not a divinely inspired miracle. That's not a godly miracle. That's not a nace. That's an incredible act of heroism, an incredible act of military bravery. And that's what was so great about Chanukah. One could say that, you know. But as we know, that's not true. We know that there's an unbelievable nace, and perhaps that's one of the reasons why we have the nace of the Pach Shemen, because we saw the Yad Hashem. Hashem showed us His incredible Hashgacha when He made one day's worth of oil last for 8 days, and He was Megala Himself at the culmination of the story when we were victorious over the Yevanim. Says the Kedushas Levi, these miracles work in order on the level of Avoda. He says Chanukah is step one. Because Chanukah takes a perspective for us to look in that story and see the miraculous dimension. Because one may say, it was just a war, they won a war. But if we look deeper and see the Yad Hashem, see how Hashem was there with the Chashmonaim, with the Maccabim, at the time when they were Moser Nefesh, when they showed their incredible dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Kiddush Levi, based on the Yisod of the Ramban. The Ramban says, the Ramban and the Parshas Bo, famous, very, very fundamental Ramban. The Ramban says, Al Yidei Hizbonenus B'nisim Nistarim Nizgala Nisim Guluyim. And we come to realize that Hakol Gzeres Elyon, everything is an ace. What's the Ramban saying? That we need to be Mizbonin. We need to think and look around the world. Similar to like Moshe was saying before. We need to look around the world and see how God is there. And when we delve deep into the world around us and see the Yad Hashem, we will come to see how Hashem is actually much more revealed than we even initially thought He was. Says the Kedushas Levi, as a result of the Avodah of Chanukah, of seeing how Hashem is here, we come to Purim and we see Hashem a little bit more, as the Nes of Purim is a little bit more at a higher level. And you know what happens? The ultimate climax, the Yontif of Pesach and the Yontif of Shavuos. When Hashem opens up the curtains of reality and says, I'm right here. and shows us the most mind-boggling miracles. But says the Kedushas Levi, on a calendar level, it all begins now at Hanukkah. When we look at the story of Hanukkah and we see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there, then we're Zocha, then we can merit to the next level of Purim and to Pesach, climbing the level of Gilui Shechina, the Gilui Elokus, the revelation of God in the world. And it so beautifully fits with, it's not a coincidence, that in the seasons, in the middle of the winter where it's dark and cold and rainy and dreary, like Adam HaRishon, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, when Adam HaRishon got to this time of year, he thought the world was coming to an end. He thought the world was becoming dark. And then as the winter ended and the spring began and the world comes back to life, and then Pesach and Nisan, where we say Birkas Ha'ilanos, we see how the world is coming back to life. And then Shavuos, the Bikurim, we see the fruits. The world literally goes through a Tchias HaMesim, goes through a Tchias HaMesim, a revival of the dead. The world that was hidden during the winter, during the cold, during the dark of the winter, comes out and reveals itself that it was never dead. It was just under the surface, something was happening. And Hanukkah, it's under the surface. You need to dig for it. It's not there. You need to be mizbonin. You need to look at the Neros Hanukkah. You need to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. And what is it? Where under the surface is the Nes? The Shem Yishmuel says, there's a famous vort that's brought down from based on a Hasidic interpretation of the Gemara in Shabbos, that Shemanim HaPsilos, Shamru Chama Ein Madlikim Mem B'Shabbos, Madlikim Mem B'Chanukah. That and Tzadikim explain that a Jew who can't get inspired by Shabbos, he can get inspired by Hanukkah. And the Shem Yishmuel explains what's the deeper meaning of that vort, that Hanukkah has a greater power of inspiration than even Shabbos has. I always was uncomfortable with that vort, because how can you like trash talk against Shabbos Kodesh? But the Shem Yishmuel, and I've said over some different approaches in the past. But Shem Yishmuel says, you know why Hanukkah can give a deeper level of inspiration than maybe even Shabbos can. Says the Shem Yishmuel in the bold, in number 6, Ach Hanukkah shezachu Yisrael machamas mesiris hanefesh nishar gam kein ledoros shachomer lo yachutz v'shuv lo yeshaleh al achomer. Says the Shem Yishmuel that Hanukkah comes from a place of mesiris nefesh. Hanukkah comes from a place of those Jews during that time digging deeper and taking something from a deeper than reality, deeper than the facts on the ground. The facts on the ground indicated and said, it's over, you have no chance, don't even bother. But they said, no. For the sake of Klal Yisrael, for the sake of Kvod Shemayim, we don't have a choice, and we need to do whatever we can. And when a Jew does that, Hashem is Megala himself. Hashem comes to their side. Hashem comes to their assistance, and incredible miracles happen when a Jew becomes prepared to be Moser Nefesh. Were they guaranteed of the outcome? Were they guaranteed of victory? No. Was Yehuda sure that he would come back with Binyamin, with Shimon? No. But there's no choice. And a Jew needs to realize at certain points in history, I think in our current Tkufa as well, that it's up to me. It's up to me to do whatever I possibly can. Can I save the world? Can I save Klal Yisrael? No. And this is one of the most important quotes in that set that you can see on a video of our great Rosh Hashiva, Zichron Tzedek Levracha, Rav Noach Weinberg, who said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, I can't save the Jewish people by myself. I have no chance. But it has to be done. So I'm going to do whatever I possibly can and know that because you love Klal Yisrael and you want their Yeshua, so I need to do whatever I possibly can and you'll help. And you'll help. And when a Jew lives from that place, that's the place of where the Hashmonaim were fighting from, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megal himself. And he comes and gives Yeshua to Klal Yisrael. And from that place of Mesiris Nefesh, the most unbelievable miracles can come. Chazal say that, this is a Gemara in Yuma, Chazal says the Gemara says like this, Lama Nimshla Esther L'Shachar, why is Esther called the Shachar? Esther is called the morning star. Lomar L'cha Ma Shachar Sof Kol Alaylaf Esther Sof Kol Nisim. Just like the Shachar, the morning star, is the very end of the night, so Esther is the very end of miracles. But says the Gemara, Vayga Hanukkah, but isn't Hanukkah the end of miracles? So says the Gemara, Nitein Liksov Kamrina. No. The last miracle that's written in Tanakh is the miracle of Esther. But really, Chazal are saying, you know what the last miracle is? You know what the last miracle of Jewish history is? The last miracle of Jewish history is the miracle of Hanukkah. Esther is the last miracle that's written down. It's in Tanakh. It's written down in the Ksuvim. But Hanukkah is the last miracle in the eyes of Chazal. But it's just not written down. Why is Hanukkah the miracle that's not written down? Because Hanukkah is a miracle that comes from a place, what we call in Kabbalah, we call in Chassidus, in Isorusa Dilitata. It comes as an awakening from below. It comes not like Pesach. Did we deserve, like the angel said at the banks of Yamsuf? The angels go to God and said, God, what are you doing saving these people? Halalu ov the Avodah Zarah, halalu ov the Avodah Zarah. You're going to save these people, the Jews, over the Egyptians? They're idolaters and they're idolaters. What are you doing? You know what Hashem said? Yeah, I love them. I love them. Do they deserve it? No, they don't deserve it. But Hashem showed His incredible rachmim, and He was megal Himself, He revealed Himself, and gave the Yeshua to the Jewish people. On Pesach, and Shavuot is totally supernatural realities, but on Chanukah, the miracle came, not in Isarusa de la'ela, like Pesach, where Hashem said, even though they don't deserve it, I'll do it for them. On Chanukah, it's what's called an Isarusa de la tata, an awakening from below, by these Jews, by these tzaddikim, who took the responsibility, who took it in their own hands to save Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that and was ravta as rivam. He went to join their fight. He went to go help them. I'm reminded of a medrash, one of my most beloved medrashim. There's a medrash that's brought down in Parshas Vayechi when Yaakov says to Yosef, "Va'ani nasati lecha shchem echad al achecha." Yaakov says to Yosef, I'm going to give you the city of Shechem, where Yosef becomes buried in the city of Shechem, and he says that I took with my bow and arrow and my sword. The Medrash asks, Yaakov didn't conquer Shechem with his bow and arrow and his sword. Who conquered the city of Shechem? Anybody remember? Shimon and Levi were the ones who conquered Shechem. You know what the Medrash says? The Medrash says something, and I think Rashi brings down also, when I learned this Medrash, my mom started to dance. Unbelievable. The Medrash says, when Yaakov Avinu saw his, and we know Yaakov, the Parsha a few weeks ago, when Yaakov saw Shimon and Levi going to fight against Shechem, Yaakov wasn't so thrilled with it, yeah? Right? It was a disgrace, it was incredible, it was embarrassment for him. But says Yaakov, at the end of Chumash Bereishis, you know what he says? And you know what's revealed? That when he saw his sons Shimon and Levi going out to fight, and he saw them up against this entire powerful village, this entire powerful city of Shechem. A father doesn't just let his children go out to battle by himself. Yes, am I thrilled with you going out to war against Shechem? Am I thrilled with you massacring a city? No. But once Shimon and Levi are out fighting, Yaakov Avinu picked up his sword, picked up his bow and arrow, and he went and joined the fight against Shechem. And again, it didn't change his approach, his understanding of the massacre, but when his sons are fighting, he doesn't just leave them on his own. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but completely positive. When the Chashmonai pick up their armor and go out to war for the sake of Kvod Shemayim, for the sake of Klal Yisrael, for the sake of the Mikdash, for the sake of Yerushalayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just sit back and just watch his children fight on their own. Rav Des Rivam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu joins the fight. And that, Yisod, is true for each and every one of us. When we take on the challenge of being Moser Nefesh for Torah, for Klal Yisrael, for Kvod Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't just let us go out there in that fight by ourselves. He'll come and join us by our side. That's the koach of Mesiras Nefesh. Can I do it? Can I learn? It's so difficult for me. It's so hard. It's a foreign language. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees our Mesiras Nefesh, sees what we're willing to do for His kavod. Anything is possible because He joins us, because He helps us. Right, like Chazal famously tell us, "Il malei HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo ozro eino yachalo." That's about the fight against the Yetzer Hara. We can't beat the Yetzer Hara. Chazal say explicitly, we can't actually beat our Yetzer Hara. Right? I know from experience. Maybe none of you do. I can't beat my Yetzer Hara. It's overwhelming. It totally gets the best of me. Beat my Yetzer Hara, no chance. But il malei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ozro, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us when He sees that we're willing to take that to go to battle. Can we win the battle? No, we don't have a chance against this battle. It's overwhelming. It's totally. It'll overpower us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come and help us, as he did with the Chashmonaim. Perhaps this is an answer that we can give to the famous Kasha of Beis Yosef. Again, the Moshe was talking about before. He said there's 100 answers. There's actually a sefer that was brought that was written with, I think, 500 answers to the Kasha of the Beis Yosef of why there's 8 days of Chanukah. Right? Famously, right? There's how many miraculous days? Right? We're all familiar with the famous Kasha of the Beis Yosef. I brought it to you, the words, right? How many miraculous days are there? There's only seven miraculous days, right? So many, 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 many different answers that's given, but perhaps this is another answer. That 7 days was the Nes Pach Shemen. What was the eighth miracle? The eighth miracle is the miracle of a Yid being able to be Moser Nefesh. That's a miraculous thing. The miraculous nature of a Jew finding it within themselves to be Moser Nefesh Hashem Shamayim. To find this Chelak Elokam Imal, to find this godliness within him that gives him the courage, that gives him the might to do things that are totally irrational. L'shem Shamayim, L'shem Klal Yisrael, L'shem the Mikdash, L'shem Yerushalayim. When a Yid can bring that out of himself, unbelievable things happen. Perhaps that's why Chanukah is a Sof Kol HaNisim. It's the last miracle. It's the last miracle of Jewish history. You know why it's the last miracle of Jewish history? Because after Chanukah, we're going to go into exile for 2,000 years. After Chanukah, right? Chanukah really, you know, it was a nice 200 years, like the Rambam says, big discussion, right? But we had 200 years of Mikdash, and then the Romans come 200 years later and destroy the second base of Mikdash. But really, the process of Gullus seems to be inevitable at that point. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this miracle of Chanukah, the very last miracle of Chanukah, before going into 2,000 years of exile. Why? Because it's going to be this miracle that will carry us through. The miracle of a Yid recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu with him, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be with him as he fights the battle of Gullus, the battle against everything that we're going to encounter for those 2,000 years. The Sof Kol HaNisim, the final miracle, is the miracle of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will join us, will be together with us when we fight against anything that we encounter over those 2,000 years of Gullus. Perhaps with this we can answer the question that we began with. Why is there no Sveik of the Yoma? Why do we not have an extra day of Chanukah? Why not 9 days in Gullus? Because every other Yantav where we have a Sveik of the Yoma, it's a light that came from above. It's a light where HaKadosh Baruch Hu shined above, Pesach. Right, and that light that comes from above, that incredible spiritual inspiration that comes from above, we need to make sure that we chap it. We need to make sure that we get the right day. Is it Tezvav? Is it Tezayin? Shavuos is a Vav? Is it Zayin? Sukkot is Tezvav? Right? But Chanukah is a light that comes as a result of Klal Yisrael. It's an Isarusu de l'tata. It comes from us. It comes from us channeling this inner energy. It comes from us awakening from below, awakening from within. We're Koveya that Yantif. We're Koveya the Yantif of Chanukah. And perhaps we could even go so far as to say, Mi'emalel Gvuros Yisrael, not Chas V'Shalom like the secular Zionists wanted to say. But the Gvuros Yisrael, the fact that a Jew knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be his partner, the fact that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will stand by our side when we fight L'Shem Klal Yisrael, L'Shem our Torah, L'Shem our Halacha, L'Shem the Beis HaMikdash, L'Shem Yerushalayim, we should all be Zoche. That in our lives we find that inner courage to fight that fight, in order to be Mekadeshim Shemayim, and know that whenever we muster the courage, and even to the small things, like waking up in the morning, or like pushing ourselves to do a chesed, or pushing ourselves to learn a little bit more, or daven with a minion, or to say something nice, or to not say something bad, whatever war goes on within you, whatever war we're fighting, our personal wars, the wars of Klal Yisrael, when a person commits to being Moser Nefesh, to giving it all, and he might say, how do you expect me to do X, Y, or Z? Look where I come from. Look at my family. Look at my community. Look at what's going on in the world. You expect me to do that? No, you're right. It's really hard. But Ilmalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozer Lo'einu Yachalo. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't help you, you're right. You don't have a chance. But guess what? The miracle of Chanukah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you. When you're Misorusa Del Tata, when you're post Pesach Shemachah, when you open up that little hole of saying Kadosh Baruch Hu, just like Yehuda, and this is, by the way, this is what represents Yehuda throughout the rest of history. That's why David HaMelech and Mashiach comes from Yehuda as a result of this moment when Yehuda goes to Yaakov Avinu and says Yaakov Avinu, it's on me. I'm going to do this. And that's, by the way, that's why the name Yaakov switches to Yisrael, because when Yehuda comes to him and says, this is the future of Klal Yisrael. This is how we're going to live. By being Moser Nefesh, by taking responsibility, by taking achrayas, even when it's not really logically making sense, that's when Yisrael is revealed. Yisrael is the eternality of Klal Yisrael. It's not just Yaakov as an individual, but Yisrael, the eternal people, the supernatural people that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our side, giving us inspiration from behind, right? Yisrael, that Yaakov Avinu who fought against the Malach, Sarisa Yimelokim Anashim Matuchal, you fought against us and you were miraculous. That's the fight of Yaakov Avinu. And that's the fight that's what makes him into Yisrael. And that's what gives us Nisim. We should be zocha to see nisim in our own lives as a result of our courage, of our mesiras nefesh, of our willingness to, even when it's not guaranteed, and we may lose sometimes, but when we know that we're fighting the good fight, we're fighting the fight that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to fight, we should be zocha to see how He joins us by our sides and gives us yeshuas and gives us complete salvations and complete overcoming of all of our adversaries, personal, national, communal, and we should be zocha to see the ultimate yeshuas Hashem, b'meher b'yameinu, amen.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rolf.
Thank you, Rolf. Thank you.